This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, September 4th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is Cecil A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Aaron Green is joining me, right? I'm going to get right into it. I have a report by Amaya Morse, Bahamas Tonight. I want Kermit to get that queued up because that's a good conversation I want to talk about today. She's the reporter who did this. I also want to talk about some Junkanoo. They had the meeting yesterday. They had the big meeting yesterday where the minister met with the JCNP. We don't know what they concluded, but the rumors is circulating. I want to talk about some rumors, but that's why I want to start now. I want to push through all of these things just so we can have some conversations. So if you're listening, this is the time now you get your phone ready and queue up so you can call in and so you can partake inside this conversation. So these are the two first conversations. There's a report by Amaya Morse from Bahamas Tonight. She's talking about housing, the new housing law bill that's going to be passed, what the government's going to be dealing with. The minister is actually speaking. And I want you to hear what the minister has proposed because it's going to be impacting a number of people in inner cities, people who have houses, people who are, when you got inheritance, but you never got your title, but you have duty of care to make sure that the housing that you did get have running water, electricity, the basic amenities, right? Because the law is coming into effect. But I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it. Let me have Kermit, tell me when you cue that up. Just wave. Let's go. Let's play that.
Renting an apartment in the Bahamas can be a harrowing feat. Astronomical prices and the requirement to pay triple the rent just to move in. Ads. Rent for a one-bedroom apartment in Sea Breeze is $1,600 per month. On Bacardi Road, $1,800. A two-bedroom house on Carmichael Road can run you into $2,600. And some landlords say no children or pets. These restrictions can feel impossible to attain as they limit the choice of renters and place a significant strain on household budgets. Minister of Economic Affairs, Senator the Honorable Michael Halkidis, acknowledges the pressures faced by renters and says the government will address these concerns as early as next month.
We're currently looking at how we can amend that to bring more protection to mostly tenants, but we also have to be aware that, you know, we have to ensure that we're fair to landlords, but we want to ensure that individuals who rent are not do not fall victim to unfair practices, you know, rapid escalations, etc. And so the public will be hearing more about that, particularly as we go back into Parliament in October.
Minister Halkidis also addressed measures to give tenants a stronger voice, highlighting plans to open doors for rent-related complaints through the Consumer Protection Commission.
We are engaging more individuals to accept rent complaints. We have a small staff that deals with receiving rent complaints at our Consumer Protection Commission, which is on Tonic Williams Darling Highway. We're beefing up that staff so in Bahamians and renters can feel more confident coming forward with their complaints.
With household rents continuing to climb and families forced to make difficult choices, Minister Halkidis emphasized that the government will bring the necessary support, won't be ignored.
Okay, I wanted to play that so we can appreciate what is happening. This is about renters and the rentee. Government's going to enact some laws to protect some rentees in terms of the responsibilities of the renters, right?
Of the landlord, you mean?
Landlord.
Yeah.
The we all know that rental dwellings are expensive, right? You have first, last, and security. To get a typical rental unit in Carmichael Road, you may have to spend about $4,000 just to get inside. That's the security deposit. That's the first rent, the last rent.
So you're looking at like 12 and 6.
Yes, 12 and 6. And they're circa $3,000, right? There are a number of people who say, man, that's pricey, right? Especially in the inner city where their rent is different, but they charge like $100 per week. Mm-hmm. But you ain't getting no bathroom inside. You ain't getting no running water. You might not have electricity. The law is going to demand that if you're going to be having a rental unit, you need to provide at least running water. See, and bathroom facilities moving forward.
I different to.
Go ahead.
Right? And then I say that, let me not say that, but if I lived in an inner city community where I rent 100 a week and there's no bathroom, internal bathroom, I'm going to get a loan from my employer to get one of them little modular units, mm-hmm. the catchment system, and I can figure out how to improve that outdoor bathroom situation, if only for myself.
Yes, and this is where the conversation comes in, and this is why I invite you on. A number of the people in the inner city who needs to invest in their rental units does not have access to loans because of whatever situation. They just bad credit. They just bad credit, right? A number of them don't even have title to the house that they own. It's their grandmother own or great-grandmother's own. So you need to first get title to get a loan formally, right? And as we march forward to ensuring the laws are enacted and that knowing that you will have to do all these things, there needs to be assistance from these landlords to say, hey, landlord, I know you need help to get up to speed, right? And that too will have to be add on the cost of the rental unit, because if I spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, which will take me about 20 years.
Okay, no.
Go ahead. Let me say this one. This might take me about 20 years to pay off, right? I don't have no money. Only thing I have is what I'm charging you now, right? And if I don't increase the rent, right, I will collapse. The bank will come and take everything.
So pause. See, that's the landlord's burden.
The landlord's
burden. What the state is saying is the premises that you provide at the rate you have right now is substandard.
Yes.
You're not giving people what they deserve for what they're paying.
Yes.
So for a landlord now to turn to a tenant and say, well, you know you're going to need to pay more rent if I improve these conditions, that's antithetical to the government policy. Mm-hmm. The government policy is saying, hey, you are not giving adequate resources for the rent that you're charging. Mm-hmm. You, the landlord, need to bring up the quality of what you're providing at that cost.
And then there's the narrative. Where do the people go in the meantime as I take my time to get the building up to date? Because all of the houses, I'm exaggerating here, the houses in the inner city, a large number of them are understandard or substandard, right? To have these people forced to move out in a house.
It's going to get interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a migrant, right? Say it's a migrant, documented migrant living in one of these inner city units because their employer has identified it as housing for them, right? The burden is on the employer to find the housing for the migrant, right? And see, here's the problem. The government needs the migrants. The government needs the labor. In fact, even if you are Bahamian, the government needs you to be able to survive on what they pay in laborers. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you get to find housing within this frame. So the onus is on the government if they want to realize or achieve their awesome economic agenda.
And this is the conversation we're having now.
Of realizing $10 billion, they say $10 billion of investment to take advantage of, right? They're going to have to figure out where are we going to house these people temporarily because we cannot tolerate the disruption. See, our national economic agenda cannot tolerate a disruption in the removal of the labor because either they're Bahamians and they can't work because they have to find some place to live, or they can't work at this cost, at this pay wage, because they can't find adequate housing. They have to deal with that.
Yeah. And I'm glad to go to the callers. So callers, be ready to come and join the conversation. This new law in terms of, or this proposed law in terms of having rent that is affordable does not impact the cost of living or the market price. Let's use a word I can use. In Carmichael Road. Carmichael Road, the 1500 plus, the 1500 plus the 700 is going to be set because of supply and demand. So I'm not sure if government can dictate to those people who have a modern facility, right, with all these amenities, air condition.
I mean, are they prepared to do it? Are they prepared to do what's required to restore balance, right, once they put in place that policy? I mean, this is, for me, it's a given, right? And even, I want to say Bahamians, first of all, why foreigners are allowed to own land in such a small space is beyond me. Yeah. We need to bring back the most important elements of the Immovable Properties Act. Mm-hmm. We need to bring that back. Foreigners should not be able to own land in the Bahamas. They should be able to lease it, but maybe with extended leases, but never own, right? The cost of land and the cost of living is on its head because of another government agenda that they're focused on realizing, right? The high-end second home industry and the tourism industry, right? A government that is actively encouraging Bahamians to open their homes for foreign heads and beds in the face of a housing crisis can only do that and succeed if they have a well-regulated housing and land market.
Yes, and that's where we're going to. Let's get these callers to join in so we can continue the conversation. Go ahead, caller, Guardian Radio AM.
Hey, gracious, you just see, how you doing?
Doing well, man.
I love this topic, right? Because the reason why I love this topic so much is, right, is because I brought up this issue about 8 years ago about the apartments and looking for apartments and you're not getting the bang for your buck. And also, the reason is the reason for why apartments now are so, prices are so high. The reason for that is because apartments are very difficult to find now because everyone now is doing Airbnb. So it's extremely difficult now to find a rental apartment because Airbnb. So people, because is right now is on demand. If you look in the papers now, you can't even find an apartment ever doing Airbnb. So now people actually have a one-bedroom apartment, probably $1,500 if you're lucky.
Yes.
And second thing, right, when I looked for an apartment when I moved from home about 10 years ago, right, looking for apartment was so ridiculously, I'm talking about nerve-wracking, because what you would get, you'd go look at an apartment, right? You'd find roach hanging around the apartment. You'd find a bullet hole in the door, the door hanging down, the tires all break up, the tub dirty, they won $950. And they did just for that. It is ridiculous. But like I say, this is a new issue, but I'm glad the government is actually now approaching this situation, right, and dealing with it. Because I want you now go in the newspaper, right, and look through the paper. Anyone can do it if you don't believe me. Look through the newspaper, right, and find any apartment. Just point your finger, right, and go there today, and I bet you getting garbage. You get something for $950, you wouldn't even put your dog in there.
Thank you very much, caller. Aaron, let me ask you this question. What if the landlord said, we don't want any children? Can our law, our legal system say, man, no, you can't tell the tenant that they can't bring their children? And I said, but this is my apartment. I don't want any children, nor do I want any dog in my house. People are saying, man, what about our rights?
Okay, so children, although some people consider their pets as their children, we put that aside, that's what we're talking about. Children and animals, I think, are in slightly different categories, right? Yeah. I can understand a landlord saying, listen, this is a condo. There's no yard space. We don't accept pets, right? We don't accept dogs, cats, birds, anything. We don't accept them. There's no yard. There's no nothing. It's a condo. You got slim walls, your neighbors, noise, complaints. We don't accept that. That's fine. It's a little more difficult with children. Right? Because children need some place to stay.
Nah, but I don't want no children in my house. This is my apartment. Go find someplace else.
I say that I don't think... Okay. Imagine it is a gated community and it is themed. So it's senior citizens. In the States, they have some of those, right? 55 and older, 65 and older. I could imagine them saying, look, no children reside here. They can visit. They can visit their grandparents. Mm-hmm. I could see a temporary waiver that it's an emergency. My kids or my in-laws are out of town, or they had an emergency and we need to keep the children, right? I could see that. But I would compromise and say maybe you allow landlords who want to have a no child policy that they get to charge a higher security deposit, maybe, because we assume that the issue is either the propensity or the tendency for kids to be rough on things, and because kids are kids and they bang about and damage stuff. I would even compromise a different type of compromise and say, look, up to a certain point, if you have kids, up to a certain point, all these types of repairs are yours. As a landlord, this is a general wear and tear for kids, and you're going to be responsible for those types of repairs. And I delineate everything.
We're not sure next. We'll just go to the caller first.
Sorry for that caller.
And I can get you another question. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Both of the callers gone? Okay, did you call back? Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hey.
You're live. Good morning.
Hi, CA.
How you doing, man?
I love you, man. Okay, just to start off on a good foot.
Yes, good.
Anyway, have you all drove around over the hill recently?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
What do you see?
What do you mean, what I see? What I'm looking for?
What do you see? No, what do you see?
I see a lot of generational property.
No, something else. You're having a gentrification process happening over the hill.
Explain
that. Who's doing the gentrifying?
I don't know, but you look and you see lots are being cleaned down, and places going up.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new places all over the hill.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if the government is aware that they may not have the support structure in place for what they are like. It's very difficult for people to live for free. In any place where there's a high demand for property in terms of rental,
okay?
Mm-hmm. And that's probably going to be the real battle, you know, in terms of what, like Mr. Uri said, who going to tell me who I can rent a place to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you all saw that earlier. Did a survey on how much it costs for middle class.
Yes.
Yeah.
Class family.
Uh huh.
Right. You know, it's a what was $10,000 to $12,000 a month, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, something high. Yeah.
Yeah, but are you aware that survey was only aimed at persons who are paying rent and not mortgages?
Majority of Bahamians pay rent. Yes. Yeah.
No. But that survey was aimed at persons who was paying rent.
Yeah, I understand.
I thought the survey was aimed at people who thought they were middle class but really needed a wake up call to realize that they poor just like the rest of us.
That's one of the questions. No, but soon.
Edward, what came across to me, you know, was that what we see is not what can be expressed in the terms that, you know, okay, when we say middle class, right?
Mm-hmm.
We usually think of what? Mortgage
mm-hmm.
and home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Now that little thing, that may have been going out the window in terms of home ownership in Nassau. And the persons who own those properties over the hill now, they probably seen how important those properties are now, mm-hmm. and they are coming back to claim them.
Yeah.
Listen, this is what I'm going to argue, sir. Yes. I'm going to say thank you for your contribution. But maybe hold on. I'm going to argue that this is one of the when Christie lost, this is one of the biggest reasons why Christie lost. Let me show you why. The gentrification of Over the Hill has been on the table for at least 30 years easily.
Yes.
30 years easily. Nobody was paying attention. We know that, right?
Yes.
Perry Christie was in a tight position because while people are saying, oh, Perry got outside toilet in his constituency and y'all want to be prime minister, Perry's in between a rock and a hard place. Perry didn't own the land.
Okay.
It wasn't his land to modify, right? If Perry created a law that said no more outside toilet, all land, all property owners with homes on it with structure, they need cesspit. They need a system, right?
Lost
the PRP would have lost its funding. The FNM would have lost its funding, right?
Yes.
That was, and he lost because he wasn't, I mean, to be honest with you, he lost because he wasn't prepared to tackle it and say it out loud, right? And explain what the matter is and then pave the way forward. That's really why he lost. But for at least 30 years, people been eyeing Over the Hill for gentrification.
The whole thing,
there'll be no development. In fact, I told people, you will not begin to see development over the hill until the U.S. Embassy finish with that building, right? And the dust settles, figuratively.
And it's taken off without the government's help.
I appreciate the caller. Continue to listen, and so you might have to call back again and to add more things to this. But I appreciate what you said. Let's talk about Carmichael Road. That's the new City 2000.
Okay, so I just want to say this. You know, like I like to blame the Ministry of Tourism for everything
because
it's them; they had fault. But we can blame Audlin Bodhi for this one. Remember when Audlin Bodhi say, "Welcome to Carmichael City 2000"? Remember that was the talks.
Yeah.
From then, the people should have known. Invest now, grab land now,
right now.
Because in 30, 40 years,
we're now. What the BTC CEO said the future is not a present or the past.
You're trying to drag the past into the present.
Yes. Okay. We're now into the present. The future now is the present, right? Where you should have invested in Carmichael Road.
Mm-hmm.
Now Carmichael Road is expensive. They start at $1,200 for a rental unit, right? People on the inner city who are trying to find housing are saying that Carmichael Road is too expensive. That area, that Southwest Corridor, is too expensive. Would you endorse the government if they tell the Carmichael Road landlords, you got to lower your rent. You lower your rent from $1,200, $1,500 to $700 to make it affordable to Bahamians.
Okay, $1,200 to $700,
$1,500
to $700. $900
pricey.
That's a big
jump.
Would
you endorse? Okay, and we could play with the numbers.
Okay, I don't know if I would endorse the government
What do you say the government should do?
Okay, the first thing the government should do is acknowledge that they complicit in this, that they caused this to happen, because here's why. Political exuberance, right? You created language to capture the minds of your people, but you lied to them. See, you use the fancy language like you can't see who's middle class now. You got this job and you could get this loan and you could buy these things and you're middle class. They lied to you. You were not middle class. They just wanted to make you feel good so you could vote for them, right? And here you are now being faced with this middle class life that you obviously cannot afford because you ain't middle class.
Because you're paying $700 a month, on rent, you can't be middle class. Let's go to the caller here.
No, that's working class rent.
Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hey, Nuri.
Hey, man, how you doing?
How y'all doing?
Good.
Go ahead, JJ.
Well, I must be the only fool in town, because I have a nice apartment. As a matter of fact, my tenant apartment, just GNN. Tenant apartment bigger than mine, on my house.
You and Lila Green are two big fools here?
I did, serious, because she have a full kitchen. She have a master bedroom. She have a front room, living room. I ain't got that on my side. And my rent with light water, hot water, air condition is $650. So, boy, I don't know. I must need to up my rent.
No, God bless you.
Some people say you're charging too much.
The lady had two kids, and I took a little pity on her, so I gave her a cheaper rent, because I don't want no bank for it, for my place.
See,
but I hear you, Anuri, haggling out the fact that you can tell or someone can guide someone as to rent. No. When it comes to renting, that's strictly a contractual agreement. If you don't want out your rent, that could be in your contract.
Man, we get rent control all over the world. Let's not talk about it. Hold on. Let's not talk about it as if it's impossible or as if it's repugnant, because that's not true. We got we got regulated zones all over the world. We can create land regulations that, at the very least, not only create affordable zones, but reinforce that landlords have an obligation to maintain standards, right? We could do that. That ain't repugnant.
Well, Aaron Green, I know it was told to me that whatever I put in my contract is what we got to go by.
No, in fact,
the person can either agree with it.
GNN, let me make a technical point. There are regulations. You know that there is a formula that determines the upper limit of the rent that you could charge on a property?
I think I know that.
Right. So there's a formula that limits how much rent you could charge on a property. Unfortunately, the position is that most people don't know that this exists, right?
Yeah, they
that
don't know the rules.
There's a specific value that's assigned to your house, and it's that value, right, that's used in the formula to determine what the upper limit. So you can't charge more, say, more than 20% of the value of the home for rent.
So this is why I want to tell
correct,
JJ.
You're correct.
But JJ, with that formula, they will say your $650 is too expensive. For what your value of your house is, you shouldn't be charging no more than five.
Me?
Yeah, you.
The bank may say that.
The government. Yeah, you shouldn't be charging no more than $500.
I want to agree with you to disagree, because my property where I am is on Bennett's Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's right next to the water tower and 10 minutes from the American Embassy.
Oh, you're selling it wrong. You're selling it wrong. Hold on. This is my bad. You're selling it wrong.
I why you say that? Because I should be up, because the American Embassy just took the value of my property sky high.
I tell the man, look here, the Airbnb experience, I get ghosts in this house. You, what? You don't need cable, I get ghosts.
All right, bud. Thanks
very much, man. I appreciate that.
I appreciate the sentiment. There are lots of people that are trying to make it work, trying to help people and make it work. They look at your circumstances, right? And then there are a lot of people who are just frustrated with bad, they call them bad tenants. People that lie, people that don't tell truth, people that don't respect your timeline, your economic financial obligations, right? They beat down your house. They wear down to pieces. They don't fix nothing. They don't tell you things need to be fixed. They row when you want to do an inspection. It's rough out there on both sides.
We can pivot right now. Commercial break, and we can talk junk when we come back. I'm not sure if the listening audience is aware that recently the government met with the JCNP. I know what they decide. But a letter is circulating. I'm going to read this letter. I want the Junkanoo to call, because look like Junkanoo changing. Look like they may have to privatize Junkanoo. Look like I got to pay to go to the parade. And I'm going to read the letter.
You got to pay now.
Yeah, but I could sign up someplace.
Or you could get the police escort.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't know what happened. But I can read it. We can have some conversation about that. What's now happening in Junkanoo? Should we be in a panic? This Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We can come back. We can talk, John.
Wait, why you look so mashed up? Like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkanoo.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostics. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or imaging at Grosvenor today.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
On September 27th, we're bringing the action. A 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
The new Guardian Radio Sunday is here with a full day of diverse programming, kicking off with the first and last word in sports, The Press Box with Naughty and Earl the Pearl, followed by Temple Time, Caribbean and Urban American gospel hits, Vital Voices, Sisters in Christ, Coach Trish Hanna, Remark with Garth Roseborough, Let's Talk Together in English with Lady T, Sunday starting at 11 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Before we go today, we're going to talk a little bit of Junkanoo, right? The government, supposed to, Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture, that's the right title, supposed to have met with the JCNP to iron out some things. They're both supposed to negotiate, save some things that they want to see, and to compromise. That was the agenda, I assume, right? We want this, we don't want this, we like this, but we can you tweak it here? But the conversation was had. We do not know the outcome. But a letter is circulating. And I want to read that into the record. Like I said, I can't say that this is exactly true, but this is an interpretation of it. And I want the listening audience to give their commentary on the letter. I have Aaron read it. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right. So, Mr. Newry, before the letter, I received this thing that said breaking news.
Okay.
Right? It says, after JCNP tonight. One, JCNP said they're doing their own parade.
We heard that before.
Yeah. Two, the government will double seed funding prize monies.
Double it? Oh, good for them.
Vola said in meeting he is supporting the government and going Bay Street.
He said it already.
Junkanoo will be Bay Street under the government.
Say it again.
Junkanoo, another point on the breaking news list. Mm-hmm. Junkanoo will be Bay Street under the government.
Mm-hmm.
Another point, Genesis, Root Saxons, Way Forward, going with the government. I'm glad they didn't put the spirit there. I don't know what us white people can do. Yeah, we haven't made a decision yet. So that's the end of that. The first statement I saw.
Okay.
Called, titled Breaking News.
Somebody was there taking notes and decided to
say it appears so. The second one is titled, is a forward, but it's titled The JCNP Meeting Tonight Outcome.
Yes.
And we read, Junkanoo has now become a political football. At this point, the decision has been made to request that groups vote for an independent parade with no government involvement.
Mm. Yeah, we can let it settle in. So what does that mean?
As I say, I don't know. The The decision has been made to request that groups vote for an independent parade.
Separate from government.
Now, here's my thing. Did you request that groups vote on the matter of an independent parade? Or did you request that groups vote for an independent parade?
Okay, let's go.
All right, make that distinction. Groups are being told not to accept the government seed funding, and in turn, the JCNP has stated it will not provide any funds to fill that gap.
But they already accept the seed funding, so this must be future seed fundings, right?
Well,
or there's seed funding coming up future.
I guess in the future. But remember, is it yesterday or day before yesterday's article, the minister indicated that any new rules or regulations
wouldn't impact this
current Junkanoo season.
Okay.
Some groups abstained from voting, but they are now being asked to sign a declaration. Those who refuse will receive their registration fees back and be removed from the JCNP. That don't sound like the JCNP, man.
If you go Russian Fox Hill, it sounds like JCNP. But I was going
to... Okay. This is what happens when there is a hidden agenda at play. Again, we're reading from a forward that's been circulating called the JCNP meeting tonight outcome. Again, this is what happens when there is a hidden agenda at play. Good luck with your independent parade. But let's be clear. The government has always been a vital partner. If groups believe they have the resources to go it alone, then so be it. Also, remember, Alive, your main sponsor, has government ties as well. If this move is about making the government look bad or staging a boycott, then the government has every right to ensure that you pay for everything yourself. Taxpayers' money should be prioritized for more pressing national concerns. Some groups have already expressed willingness to continue participating in government-run parades, even on the family islands if necessary. Perhaps it is time to rethink or even remove the JCNP altogether. The government needs to have their own national parade. It's simple as that. Who wishes to be a part? End of statement.
It's complicated. So let's hash out possible realities.
Okay, well, let me start here. Let me just say this first thing.
Okay.
I presume that the person who wrote this, authored it, right, and shared it, assumed that people would know who the author is because they shared it from their personal account, right?
Mm.
But I'm going to ask people to, like, put your name on your statement.
Yeah.
So we know who wrote it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because by the time it gets to me, I have no idea where it came from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so let's start doing that.
Okay. Let's... Presume some realities. Let's say the JCNP has decided that what the government is proposing, they cannot work with.
Mm-hmm.
And by extension, when I say JCNP, the volunteer groups that make the part of the JCNP,
mm-hmm.
they want to do a separate Junkanoo rush,
mm-hmm.
separate from government.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming the separate from government Junkanoo is not the traditional Junkanoo on the 26th. Is something separate and apart from that?
No, I get the impression, I mean, what would be the point? If you're going to do your own rush, are you not going to do it on Boxing Day?
Well,
are you not going to do it on New Year's Day?
Okay, then let's say that. You're going to have it juxtapose or parallel to the government's Junkanoo. It won't be on Bay Street. It'll be someplace else. Will it have government resources like the police? Or will it police? Will it have resources like the lighting? Or will they be renting lighting from mm-hmm. somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what is it that they're proposing when you say a separate parade from the government when the government pay for these things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. And how much is my ticket, how much is my regular ticket going to cost to subsidize all the big shots you're going to want to come to your event, like at the regular event in Rawson Square and you get all the big shots come out? How much money are you going to have to pay to subsidize that?
Government is the one who pays for the bleachers. Is the new entity going to be paying for the bleachers, or there won't be any bleachers access at all? Right?
Mm-hmm,
and will there be a competition of who event people should attend if both events are happening at the same time, on the same day? Right? This is problematic. Like, what is the intent? If this is true.
But what, more problematic than that is, has anybody done an actual, not needs assessment, but resource assessment? Like, do y'all really think you have the capacity to run a separate parade in a new venue that may not have a road on it? Like, I just think, have y'all really thought about what it takes to host? I know you haven't, right? Because y'all still call in what y'all do every year, success of it. Y'all still celebrating like y'all did the best job ever. And your operation of the management of the parade is so dysfunctional. You got people rushing until 12 p.m., 12 noon the next day in the daytime. You have bastardized the Junkanoo experience just so you could keep claiming that you're doing a good job.
Let's get to the phone call so they can get some opinions. Kermit, make it available for me, please. Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead.
Hey, Nuri.
Hey.
Yeah, GNN and Kaiser based Junkanoo Mind, you and Aaron Bandura, right?
Yes.
You both of you are asking the right questions. What they can't do it. I can tell you that from being a 50-year Junkanooer. A private company can't pull that off. See, what they must realize, they are like not. The management of the JCNP is managing something that is public. It's like our airport. NAD can manage that, but they can never own it because it belongs to the Bahamian people. And I think that's where the management team of the JCNP is confusing themselves. They could never own Junkanoo. The only thing they was manage that because to tell the government, I don't want you in Junkanoo, is to tell the Bahamian people, I ain't want you in Junkanoo. And that is what happened to Carnival last year. Because they told the government the same thing, the government pulled back. And you see, that's the worst, crappiest looking carnival ever. The government has always been a part of Junkanoo, a partner in Junkanoo, because like you say, the logistics, you need the streets, you need the policemen, you need the lighting, you need that. And the JCMP as a body, a unit, private unit, can't afford that. You know what it is to develop a street in the back of it, they won't go, like you say, Ms. Green, smooth enough street to roll those cars alone. The barricade, that ain't to put the police on. That's not the seating, the proper seating. That's not the lighting. That's not the fire.
Now, GNN, hold on. There's only one way it could work. Right?
Go ahead.
The PLP need to nominate Robert Caron, that's his name? And they need to figure out if they could use some roads in Lyford Key and Albany. That's the only way. That's the only way it could work.
That's the only way it could work. And then it's morphed into something else, because from what I understand from the Junkanoo leaders last night, some of them, this is the second time that they were called to a meeting by the management team. Notice they're calling them the management team.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got there, then the management team spring this thing on them. Oh, we want to take a vote. Because last night was no different. But they got a surprise that they liked last night, because the groups themselves say, hold on, but we abstain right now. We got to go speak to our members. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They need to stop that. And then running behind the group, they make that decision. That wasn't the case last night.
Johnson?
I don't know whose idea it was.
Johnson, the phone lines are full. I want you to continue
and
tell you. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Yes, a pleasant good morning, Nuri.
Good morning.
How are y'all doing?
Good.
Okay. Are y'all rolling this conversation over into 12 o'clock?
No.
Good morning to the nation. I want to comment on this Junkanoo thing, and then I want to comment on the rental thing.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this is all this does, what is happening where the, and I would go with Rami Boy on this one, and use the terminology he says, because it is correct. All this is demonstrating is you give a little bit of power to the management team, and they seem to be intoxicated, right, with the worst types of alcohol ever created.
That's the political culture, Antoine. I couldn't help it, because I could see where you're going. You know the PLP complicit in this culture, right?
What culture is that you're talking about?
Oh, God. Continue, Antoine. Go ahead, man.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so to finish what I'm saying, I'm so happy that this is happening at this juncture in our country and nation's development, because Junkanoo is our number one most celebrated culture. and it belongs to no private entity. And it could never, ever successfully belong to a private entity. Because once that happens, the people are lost in the equation, and all that matters is profit, profit, profit. And Junkin was not about profit. If we have to strip the JCNP, we have to. If they seem to be so combative, remove them and start this process all over again and get it right. But reel it and reel it and reel it in now, because it is out of control under the management team. Completely, these guys must have lost their mind. Now, to move on to the rent discussion. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. But I just didn't want to agree with you, I could be honest.
Pardon me?
Don't go, go on, go on, go on.
I don't need anyone to agree with me. Mm-hmm. That's for the record. Mm-hmm. I didn't get what you were saying.
I was saying I didn't want to agree with you because I think that you kind of like premising the idea that the PLP is right and these by them are wrong. But the point I was making earlier is that this is such a difficult conversation to have because it's obvious to many people that the same culture that's problematic and taking root in this junker new space is the same political culture that we have to live with on the outside. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Well, Aaron, to that point, right?
Look, no, we're talking about rent now.
Okay, let me just say this, okay? Mm-hmm. Even if we talk about partners in Junkanoo, JCNP is one partner. The government is the biggest partner. I believe, though, as it relates to making the number one cultural experience work, the Bohemian people are actually the biggest partner, right? The government is the gatekeeper, okay? Mm-hmm. And so JCNP is outnumbered no matter how you look at this equation, okay? Moving on to the rental discussion. And you would have highlighted something that is true because when you get an appraisal done on your property, right, there's a sales approach that is represented in that appraisal, right? However, there's the actual on the ground because what you could have in your appraisal using the sales approach and the valuation of and looking at a percentage of that property as rent, a percentage as maintenance, etc., right? All of that is being shown out based on what is happening on the ground currently. The realities of what is happening over the country is outweighing the theoretical approach that goes into producing an appraisal report, which encompasses the sales approach and the actual value approach.
So basically nobody's enforcing the law, because this sounds like I said it sounds like you saying nobody's enforcing the law. It sounds like the same conversation we had with the town with the chair of town hall planning when he said you know what, there's always been a regulation there's always been a regulation that you can't have a liquor store within 700 feet of schools and churches, and then the town planning boy said, yeah, but because of a lack of public awareness, this thing exists, right? It's just like all we have to do is make people enforce the law, right? Well, I for that.
I believe in enforcement of the laws because we are a country of laws. But what I'm saying, all I'm simply saying, Aaron, is there's the book approach and there's the reality approach based on what's happening on the ground.
Okay, so there's the law and then there's the people who don't feel like they have to follow or enforce the law. No, man, that's a good thing you just said. I appreciate it. I just didn't understand it at first. There is the book approach, like it's what the law says, and there's the reality. It's what the lawmakers feel they want to do and could do and could not do and could get away with, right? That's all it is. That's why I referenced the statements from the town planning chair in reference to the zoning conversation where he said, yeah, the laws, these things have always existed. It's a lack of public awareness. That's the reason why we haven't followed the law, essentially, right? Why would you say that out loud? There's the book approach and there's the reality. You hear caping, you hear campaigning for a government who have the opportunity to enforce laws. Let's just enforce laws.
Let's see if we can squeeze this guest in here. Go ahead, Kermit. Let's patch this person through. Guide and Reader AM, go ahead. Call again once. Ah, no.
I got a text here.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, why is no one talking about the condition of the hospital? This place is filthy, leaking, and in complete disrepair. I wish I could take photos. It's unfortunate that I have to come here every month. Yeah, to pick up meds for someone.
Yeah, we always talking about the hospital. The hospital has some issues.
Man. So imagine the families who feel that it's still safer to leave their elderly family members in the hospital than to bring them home.
Yeah, we need to have a discussion about that so government can realize what is happening. Let's go to the next caller.
Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, see him.
Go ahead.
Yeah, can I finish my point, please?
Go ahead, Anton. We have 2 minutes before we go.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Look, Aaron, I wasn't saying nothing about what you were saying at all. Okay? Let me get that out first. Secondly, the government can enforce the laws. Yes. Crown or prepared to pay the price that people are charging beyond their property value in Beantown, in Carmichael Road, in Lightfoot Key, in Albany, Eastern Road, Port New Providence, wherever it is, that is what the market will dictate.
Producer, play the gospel music. This play when we change my life from Christ. You are actively saying that, look, there are the laws, and if people don't want to follow the law, they don't have to follow the law?
And that be God, Aaron.
Listen, it's irresponsible of me to allow you to promote such foolishness. There's the law, and then there's what people want to do. And if people want to do what they want to do, we should just be satisfied with that. See, because that's what the rapey people saying. That's what the rapists saying. They're saying, yeah, we know the age of consent is 16. We don't care. Right? That's what they had been saying. And now we no longer have an offense. Well, I'm not sure. It's called statutory rape. Where it don't matter if you knew or not, if the person is under the age of consent, you're guilty. And now we're talking about unlawful sexual intercourse, and everybody know a seven-year-old could consent, even though the courts won't recognize it as legal consent. And you got the boy them saying, oh, it ain't the, what they say, it ain't the size of the pitch is going to feel. And we say they don't weigh them by the, they don't count them by the age, they weigh them by the pound. You know why? Because there's the law, and then there's the people who don't care about the law, and so we just let whatever happen.
It's definitely a need for us to continue this conversation. More conversation needs to be had moving forward about junk canoe, about housing, about rental units.
About crime, because about these crime, people actively the hospital, perpetuating crime.
About good governance, right? We'll continue this conversation. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. We will continue this. Boy,
in the midst of this land discussion,
Ackland's gonna have some issues.
I tell these people, from you hear them talking land reform, go see your lawyer about your land.
I have Daxton land. You think the Daxton let me get some of the land? Or the Collies? I relate. I'm a Collie. This anyway.
I'm Mitchell. I hear they Mitchell.
No Mitchell land in Ackland.
Oh, sorry. No, I was talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. Just don't come Ackland's with no Mitchell. This has been Guardian Radio AM. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.